We're going to go to Plan B this morning. And you want to say something, or are you good? Okay. I'm just going to read the scripture and let it minister to you. I want us to really have some time fellowshipping together this morning. It's good to see all of you. And those that are watching, I wish you were here in person as well. And I long for the day when you will be here in person. You know, I've never done as a practice when I read the word every day, most every day, or otherwise I double up the next day. But there are those who read the word out loud during their time with the Lord. And there's something to be said for that. So I'm just going to, the word was ministering to me this morning, and I'm just going to read it to you and let it minister to you as well. It's Colossians chapter 3. It talks about, you know, sometimes I don't think we realize what Christ really did when we experienced his saving grace, when we received the gift of salvation. I don't think we understood the whole package that was set in motion. And part of that process is God will do his part, and we must do our part. That's covenant. The two of us have to be involved in this process if we're going to really see growth in our lives and to be able to reach our destiny that God has envisioned for us. So it's talking about putting on the new self here. And just allow the word to challenge you, to minister to you, to encourage you this morning. It starts out, therefore, if you have been raised. You need to settle that question with him. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And so that is Christ's position since the resurrection. And it tells us also elsewhere that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Do you understand the power of his prayers over your life? Doesn't diminish the power of your prayers, but what a comfort it is to me to know in the heavenlies this prayer ever being made on my behalf. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And so often we get overwhelmed, and that's what I felt I was seeing this morning, that weariness, the challenges of life, the things we sometimes don't understand or things that we get disappointed with. But set our mind on things above, not on what we see. What does the scripture say? We are to what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Is that always easy? No, but that's the goal. That's what the scripture challenges us, and that's what it's saying. Set your mind on things above. For part of this process of salvation, verse 3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's covered. Your security is now not in your ability, not in your giftings, but in him. your life is hidden, because there was a death that took place, not a physical death, but something transpired in the spirit realm at salvation. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. It's talking about our glorious future. Can we comprehend what that will be like? What that will look like? I don't think so. Not in our limited amount of revelation at this point. It's an ongoing process. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. What the scripture is saying there is when we allow those things, they are actually becoming idols. That sinfulness, that focus on things on the earth, not on what is above, that's creating an idolatrous relationship and diminishes our communication and our closeness and our relationship with the Lord. For it is because of these things, verse 6, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside. Again, this is our role. This is covenant. This is choosing to make righteous decisions. It's a choice. Every single day we come to a sort of crossroad. And what we decide and how we behave will either bring us closer to him or bring us further away from him. No gray area really there. It's either or. And so it's saying, put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. And I dare say I faced some of these things this week. And I am quite sure that you did as well. I'd like to think that you're all angels, but I'm a realist because I know how I fall short. And so, no lying to one another, being honest, in other words, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So this process is a lifelong process. Being renewed or being reformed or being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. You can't avoid it. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to be experiencing these challenges, this renewal. God is relentless in his love, in his pursuit of us. And that's what this renewal process is all about, being changed to be more Christ-like. A renewal in which, verse 11, there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So, at any point, any in this category can make the choice to turn to him, can make the life changes that are necessary, the life choices that are necessary. But it's a personal choice. It's a personal commitment, a personal humbling and coming to the Lord and being willing to admit that we do sin, that we do fall short. So, here's the hope, verse 12. So as those, this is you, this is me, who have been chosen of God, Holy, oh, I don't feel holy. Well, that's his declaration over you. You've been made holy by the blood of Christ. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I often do not want to do what the scripture is challenging me here to do. I don't want to do it. I'm human. Pastor is my function, but I'm human. I do fall short. And I can think of things in traffic even yesterday. I don't know if I lost, I know I didn't lose my salvation, but I didn't glorify God. And it doesn't matter if I thought it or I spoke it. It wasn't good. It wasn't kind. It wasn't loving. It wasn't forgiving. It wasn't bearing with anyone. It was me, me, me. How could you do this to me? Beyond all these things, put on love. There's the key. Put on love. Fall back on the love of Christ. Fall back into the arms of the one who loves you the most, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So if you don't have peace, if you don't feel peaceful, there's a solution. Get your eyes off the things that are weighing you down and turn to him. Receive again the washing, the regenerating, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, so that peace can rest upon you. That perfect bond of unity of love will be evident in your life. And once again, you will be thankful. You may not be thankful per se of what you have to go through or what's happening or the blessed people God's putting in your path, even family members included in this. But do this, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You would do well to worship the Lord more than Sunday morning. You would do well to worship him wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you get strange looks. Guess you may get some strange looks. I don't care who sees me singing in the car, because I am singing to him. I am worshiping him. And I will worship him as long as I live, as long as I have breath. Because he did for me and he did for you what no one else could. And he keeps doing it as well. And I am very thankful that he's chosen me, as it says. He's called me holy. He's called me beloved. And he's given me the ability to forgive when I do not want to. When I want to be obstinate, when I want to say I am more important than forgiving my brother or sister in Christ, or non-brother and sister in Christ. But let that word richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. And so if that thankfulness is in our hearts, it's got to come out of our mouth. It's inevitable that it will. And you know, love is a very curious thing. Love has many facets, and you know, I have someone who texts me most every Sunday morning to encourage me. That's love. That is love. And that picks me up, with, no matter what's happened. And you know, I get up very early. And you'd be surprised what can happen between 4 and 8 a.m. Right? It's amazing what can come into your life, the challenges and things that can come up, even before we really get geared up for the day. So that's the challenge here, letting the word dwell richly within us. And whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to the Father. And if you're doing it for any other reason, it's a wrong reason. If you're looking for affirmation or praise from people, you're not many times going to get it. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. And your praise comes from him. You're doing it, hopefully, for him. That's the only reason to do it. So then you won't ever be disappointed when people don't thank you or show appreciation in some way. Now here's where the rubber really meets the road. I think your Bible might say family relations. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Not in a slave sense, not in you do what I say, yes, master, sense, but in love and in respect. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Don't lord it over them. That's not what Christ, how Christ treated people, and he's not wanting us to do that as well. He wants us to always be loving our wives. And, you know, those of you who are married, you know that that's always a challenge, sometimes a challenge. I say that, you know, sometimes we trip over ourselves. We get it our own way. We don't need help from anybody else. We're pretty good at that. And then we blame our spouse. We take it out on our spouse. Oops, we shouldn't. Children, obedient to your parents in all things. No children here to hear that, but for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Father, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. You know, it's not many times that something is repeated twice in a chapter, but we have it here. And that's because Paul is trying to drive something home. We don't need to go through verse 22 per se, but verse 23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. It's just pointing back to verse 17. It's emphasizing whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks. Knowing, verse 24, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It's the Lord Christ, it's the Lord Jesus that you're motivated to do what you don't feel like doing. to say what you don't feel like saying, to forgive when you don't feel like forgiving. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. So, that's the scripture and the power of scripture being spoken. And you might just try it. The problem is it takes longer to read it out loud than to just to read it silently. So, that's okay. So, instead of reading two chapters, you read one. But you're reading it out loud and it's ministering to you in a way that just reading silently does not do. So I pray God's richest blessings on each of you. You know, we are heading into what many call the summer slump. I challenge you to not forsake the assembling with the brethren during the summer months. And that doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to the beach, so I'll watch online. No, it means you make a choice to be here. Yes, vacation is vacation. I'm happy for you when you're able to do that, when you're able to go away. So I hope that you all plan on coming down. There's been work and love that's gone into preparing our fellowship time and having something to share down there, more importantly, sharing with one another, not just sharing soup and sandwich. So I pray God's blessing on that time and upon those who have seen fit to do it for us out of love. And I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see you down there.